Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, July the 3rd, 2014. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, dear heart. Thank you for that introduction. It's a delight to be here. We're honored and we're blessed that everyone who chooses to join us, each day that you choose to join us, bring these tools to the world. We're just delighted to have you sharing with us. And our work, of course, is the work of first century Aramaic forgiveness. And that process is one which is the opposite of what our culture teaches. We live in a backward culture when it comes to forgiveness. The Greek idea that we're taught right from childhood is that everybody else is responsible for what's happening inside of us, and so all you have to do is forgive somebody. You just let them off the hook, and then everything's going to get better. Well, our offering is that it's time for us to forget about trying to forgive anybody for anything. In fact, we specifically caution never forgive anyone for anything, which tends to leave people in confusion because we've always been told that it's a nice thing to do to let other people off the hook and that that's our obligation. And our obligation, if we want to heal, is to forgive. But that doesn't mean let other people off the hook. The word forgive, as it was taught in the original Aramaic 2,000 years ago, is a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove anything that is unlike love. Of course, you can't remove anything that's unlike love if you're not willing to look at it. And so the idea of our work together is to bring forward and to look at those things that are unlike love and to learn to remove them from ourselves so that in the presence of behaviors that reinforce or bring those things up in us, we have the ability to live as this awesome active presence of love that we are designed to be. And so the technology is that of how you go inside and remove resistance, anger, fear, hatred, vengeance, whatever it is that circumstances bring up in you. If there's a circumstance in your world that brings up something less than love, then you lose the capacity to function as love whenever that circumstance comes along, not because of the circumstance, as the world teaches you, but because of that which is inside of you that is less than love. And so we're here to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet in being able to face whatever it is that puts them in their conversation based in fear, hostility, grief, rage, pain, and to bring the active presence of love into their minds in the presence of whatever that is. And so we're delighted and we're honored to be here too. And Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us and he's on.
Well, let's say hello to the young man and see how you be, sir.
I'm well.
Awesome.
We're enjoying a little
break in the rain here in Illinois, and looking forward to another productive day of sharing the tools.
Cool. Well, we are in Theodosia. We've been having warm days, and last night it got down to about 50 degrees, so it was cool, and no humidity. It's absolutely beautiful. Getting up this morning, this cool, crisp morning, it's like, oh, man, the summer could stay like this for me. But I'll probably get to some forgiveness around the fact that it probably won't stay like that for the next couple of months. But it sure was nice getting up this morning. I had some unloading of the van to do and, you know, coolers out of the art center. It's really nice to be in the middle of July or going into July and having cool mornings to get some work done. It's pretty cool. Pun intended. So do you have anything to share with us today? Anything exciting happening in your world?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and it's been a theme for two sessions right now, is the in the worksheet process that I've had two people so far today ask me, do you really have to read that worksheet every time? And my response was, the way I think about it is that every time I do a worksheet and I read the process, I'm peeling off another layer of the conditioning that I had for the first 45 or so years of my life, where the entire conditioning around what I was feeling inside of me was to believe it's being caused by somebody outside of me. You made me angry, you hurt my feelings, that situation's overwhelming. And I found myself saying to one person in the last session, he was having a hard time pulling out this concept from the worksheets, and I said, there was a previous version of the worksheet that had the following line in it, and I really like that line. It said, the truth is, my reality is strictly internal, it's unique to me, and is created out of my own thoughts. And that was one of the pieces in that worksheet that I use to remind myself every time I'm peeling off another layer of the conditioning that said somebody outside of me is making me angry or making me feel confused, etc. And so that's been the theme today, is to try and help people understand from that current version of the worksheet process that it's all an inside job, and that the whole first top of the worksheet is to spell out how my conscious logical mind has control over everything and thinks it's going to fix it. And here's the data that it's using to prove to itself that somebody outside of me is creating my upset, including the goal I have for them. And then here's my willingness to try something different by canceling the goal and asking for an intelligence or a force outside of my logical mind to show me what's hidden. What's hidden in me that's literally causing this upset. And every time I do that and read it and breathe into it in the worksheet process, I'm peeling off another layer of the many, 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 many thousands of times in 45 years, which includes my doctoral training in clinical psychology, where I was taught even there, so, you know, how does that make you feel, and who did what to you when you were a kid, and I can understand why you feel that way now because this happened to you and because that happened to you. And so I have a lot of that conditioning to peel back the layers of. And every time I slow down and breathe and read the worksheet process, it helps me get rid of another little, and it might only be a rice paper thin piece of the conditioning, but it's another piece. So that's my offering.
Absolutely.
For today.
Good reminder. And, of course, the other reason to read every word in the worksheet is because we can't function out of brain cells we don't have. And I purposely built the key anti-conditioning ideas from the work into that worksheet so that each time someone reads it, they're building the brain cells. They're reinforcing the brain cells for, my mind is making up its reality out of 9 bits. And so as people read every word, One of the other ones that is relatively new on the worksheet, lines that I like, is the one to the right of the margin that says, I choose to not make, I forget exactly how it's worded now, I don't have one in front of me, but in essence, I'm going to stop building realities out of these brain cells. You know, now that I've collapsed this one, what the carbon-based memory will tend to do is just go find another reason to come up with that particular reality, you know, variations on a theme, and to get to the point where I'm ready to be done with that and simply build my life out of the active presence of love and let every other conversation go. Cool, big challenge. So, Jeannie, is there anything exciting happening in the chat room for us to be aware of? Of course, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you are on one of those stations that we don't have access to in our control panel, you can certainly call into that number. And if you just hit 1, you'll be in queue to ask a question or make a comment, and we'd love to hear from you. So anything happening in the chat room, sweetie, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, right now there's guests who can't chat in the chat room. They just listen. And Peace and I have just kind of been chatting back and forth, and nobody has their hand up. So if someone presses 1, you're first in line.
Maybe a quick explanation of those people that are in there as guests on how they can set it up so that they can chat might be a useful thing for you to do. Would you mind just giving them a quick...
Blog Talk just requires that you set up an account, and it's very simple. They don't ask for a lot of private information or anything. You create yourself a name. It doesn't even have to be your real name. And once you're signed in, you know, I think they ask for your email address or something like that. But then you can talk to us in the chat room, and, you know, it gives you just another extension of how you can get in touch with us and talk. And things are going wild here. My brother and his family just got here, and my niece and her family just got here. So there's like 20 new people running through the living room right now.
Oh, really? So everybody's up at the house. So.
Well, they just arrived. So I've got 2 brothers that are already down on the river. And my other brother just got here with his 2 boys and wife, and my niece and her husband and 2 babies just got here. So a lot of people going back and forth right now.
Maybe just so people know what you're talking about, you can share a little bit of what down on the river means.
We have a family reunion every 4th of July, and it's just standard. Everybody knows that we're going to be here. If you can come, fine. If you can't, fine. And my dad has 200-some acres, and it goes right down, and the river runs right through the property. And it's just a beautiful campground. And so everybody that comes is in charge of setting up their own tents and things like that and their own food. But my immediate family, there's 32 of us now that are here. And so we've kind of come up with menus of who brings what, and so everybody's putting it together so that we have our meals together. And yesterday we spent the last 2 days we've spent cleaning my dad's camper and pitching tents and setting up food tents and doing all this stuff. So I said today is going to be Float the River Day, because it's the way the river meanders around through the property. You get in at one place and you float for about an hour, and the way that it curls around, when you get out, you're within 2 minutes of walking back to the camp. So it makes it really nice. It's up in the 80s here. They're not calling for any rain, which is a miracle, because it usually rains here when we're on the 4th. But it's going to be beautiful weather, and so we're just looking forward to everybody getting down there and just spending time together, just cousins and aunts and uncles, and it's just an awesome time.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, y'all have fun, and I wish that we were there, but unfortunately, or fortunately, we're in Missouri. Actually, Ari and I just got to Springfield, and we just pulled into a farmer's market, so I'm going to see if Ari wants to hop out and grab a few things and pop them in the cooler while I sit in the van and do the radio show, and we'll just take it from there. So if anybody has a question for us, the number is 646-200-4169. 4169, and we would be delighted to hear from you. If you are on the phone, push a button, a one, and that one will put a hand up in the phone queue, and we'll be able to chat. We'd love to hear your questions, your thoughts, your answers, your ideas. We're here to understand and to bring forward this awesome ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness. So welcome, everybody, to the show. We're delighted that you're here.
While we're waiting for somebody to put their hand up, unless you have another topic, if everybody would hold the space, Monday morning, I'll leave here on Saturday evening and head back to Bristol. And on Monday morning, meeting with a mental health facility, and I'm doing a class for two of their – they have groups that meet, and they're combining two of their groups, and I'm going to be doing a class for them on Monday morning. And I was contemplating how to do it because I only have an hour with them. And so I'm going to go through the healing process and what – you know, when we put energies in and we hold on to them, how they become our physical, mental, emotional illnesses, and how we continually draw to us situations to bring it up for us so that we can heal, so that we can let that go. And I'm going to get them to do the three early memories and then the how my healing's going to look. And I think that that will give them enough of a taste that then they would come, because Thursday and Saturday both I'm doing the why is this happening to me again, the forgiveness work for a doctor's office in Bristol. And so I think that that will give the clients at the mental health facility enough interest that they'll come then maybe Thursday or Saturday to the others. So that's kind of the direction that I feel led to go, and because there's not going to be enough time to introduce it and do the worksheet in an hour. And she actually
right.
told me we stop promptly at 11. So it's like, okay, I get it. So hold
it
the space
like
for
a,
all of that
an awesome
coming
way.
Week.
So you'll get them to do the three early memories and then how I heal and really get a look at how that process works. That sounds like a perfect way to inspire them, and hopefully they'll join you for the other workshops at Dr. Shrinker's, which is pretty awesome. There's a medical doctor in Bristol, Tennessee that we've just started working with, and it's as though we're having the same conversation when we talk about this process of healing. So,
and we've also, I've been talking with Dr. Shrinker, and we're also setting up for November. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but it's the week before Thanksgiving. So I think that's November the 16th through the 22nd to do a full week of workshops and end it with the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So that's just 1 week after we leave the 9-day intensive in Pinckney. And so that's going to be a busy time. We'll be going straight from an intensive to coming back down here to Bristol and do that full week with Dr. Shrinker. And he's looking at a bigger facility for us to be at. And so he is really on board with this, which is exciting.
That is pretty exciting. That's pretty awesome. Fabulous.
And then I also have three people that I'm breathing this next week, too. So now you're going to be busy at Heartland with the Food Fund Forgiveness, and I'm going to be busy here in Tennessee. So let's just hold the space for us as we're in different places, that we each are doing what we need to do and taking it forward.
Well, I think it's pretty awesome that, you know, after 10 years of our time here, that that we are really establishing a foundation there in Bristol. That's pretty cool that that's coming together. I'm pretty excited about that. Of course, with as often as we visit there, that'll give us another reason to go and be there and take the work forward to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. Is what we're here to do. Very cool. So, again, our call-in number, 646-200-4169. And if you push 1, that will put you in queue to talk with us. And we would love to hear your voice and chat about this tool called forgiveness and how to bring it into expression in your life. So if you push 1, your hand goes up. No waiting. We're here to answer your question. If you and I were sitting one-on-one, if Dr. Tim and you were sitting one-on-one, or Jeannie, what question would you want to ask us? That's what we're here to answer. That's what we are here to support you with.
Someone did ask a question yesterday in the chat room, and I'm not sure that we answered it fully, but it was they were talking about how much this program and the conversations and things triggered them. And someone said, well, why do you keep listening then? they said that they told them, you know, well, it was because it was bringing things up and giving them opportunities to heal, but perhaps talk about, you know, how we can either face it willingly or it's going to get us anyway, because that's what we're calling for.
Yeah, we tend to live in such a drug-oriented and escapist world that, you know, nobody wants to look. Let's just pretend that everything's cool and nicey-nice, and the truth is, it's not. There's some crazy stuff going on, and it's going to take a group of people who have the capacity to hold the space of love within themselves, and as we expose, you know, even if it's just inside of our own minds, as we expose those things that hold hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, and trauma, we literally change those dynamics within ourselves. And as we change those dynamics within ourselves, we become quite literally the space that can change those dynamics on planet Earth. So that's one of the reasons for doing that. I know that, you know, an example of that, I used to stay away from movies that were violent, and now I often will go to a violent movie, not particularly because I enjoy them, but because I do enjoy the opportunity to learn forgiveness. I enjoy having the ability to start to own and see within my own mind where my grief, my rage, my pain, my fear, my sadness lie, and as I'm able to look at that, I then am able to bring change to that part of my mind by bringing those things forward and holding a space of love. And that's where healing happens. And there's so many things that, you know, our culture keeps hidden from us, so many things going on beneath the surface that the average person never sees and never looks at. And if they start to get close to it, turn tail and run the other way, when what we really want to be doing is heading right in the direction of it, because it's only going to heal. You know, there's a, I forget who it was that said it, but that darkness rules when good men do nothing. And when good men pretend that, you know, there's nothing going on and they refuse to look and deal with what is going on in the world, the tendency is to just support unconsciously and allow those things to continue happening. And so what we want to do is bring those things forward to awareness and support and strengthen the ability to move through those things, to heal those things in ourselves, and therefore become a healing force in the world around whatever those issues are. And if we're not willing to look, you can't go there, you can't do it. And so it's an interesting challenge and an interesting balance to keep bringing forward the active presence of love and at the same time have the willingness to look at what is in ourselves and what is in our world. As you asked the question yesterday about the Beatitudes and that statement where Yeshua says that you must be willing to look into your errors in thought and the errors of your society. And you can't look at the errors of your society if you can't look. You know, if you hold to the pretense that it's not there to be dealt with, then you can't ever deal with it. And so it's an interesting balance to come forward, to bring into the world, and to have the courage to look. Because most would rather just ignore it. You know, you look at some of the things that have gone on in our world, and why were they allowed to continue? You know, things have happened in countries that virtually everybody in the country abhorred, and you find out later they all said, well, I didn't know. Or, I was just doing my job. Gee, what if you realized that your job is to function as this awesome active presence of love, not
to do what it was that some, you know, dictator or whatever told you to do. Then the game changes. But without awareness, that game can't change. We're here to bring awareness. We're here to change the game. And to really, truly develop the capacity to bring forward the active presence of love, no matter what's happening either inside or outside of us. And the unwillingness to look there is what allows atrocities to happen. So I don't know if that brings any thoughts up for anybody, but if it does, I'd love to hear from you. Our number is 46-200-4169. If you have a question for us, thought, which one? Raise your hand. We'd love to hear from you. The show expands in its ability to deliver the tools when we hear from you. So push the button, push one, and ask your question. Anything in the chat room, Jeannie? Anything happening?
No, Baker was just kind of saying the same thing that you were saying about how we have to be aware of the things that are going on in order for us to take control of our inner programming and be able to let go, that some of the pains are rooted and very deep, and it may take some time to get through them, and we may already be consumed by that, but we're never bound to it, that we can always make that change. It's just a willingness to align and look at what doesn't belong and let go.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, one day of the week we've got more callers than we can possibly get in. We've got still five people with their hand up. When we finish the show, and then another day, everybody's in the silent mode. So if you're one of those people who had a hand up last week and you didn't get your question answered, come out of silent mode. Put your hand up. Ask your question. We want to hear from you. And that's what opens the show and opens the space. Beyond that, of course, we are getting ready to start our intensive season here at Heartland. And our number is 646-200-4169. We've got a whole series of workshops that will start over the period of the next 2 months. We'll be starting on Monday, actually, with Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work Project, and all things moving forward. So some of the other tools, you know, there are a whole series of tools that we've developed. We hear from Rex and Michelle pretty much on a weekly basis about the work that's being done in the prison in Lansing, or pardon me, not Lansing, actually, just north of Lansing, an hour north of Lansing in Ionia. Pretty amazing process happening there in a disciplinary prison where they bring all of the most troublesome inmates from all over the country and put them in one facility, which tends to be a pretty violent place, and just to hear the changes that Laws of Living is making with those inmates is pretty awesome. And if you're interested in, you know, having access to more of that information, that's an intensive that will start. Oh, gee, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but we'll start the Laws of Living intensive in about 5-6 weeks. And that's a 16-day workshop that we'll be doing.
It starts on August the 22nd.
August 22nd. And that's a 16-day intensive that just brings out a whole series of tools on how to heal those internal dynamics of hostility, grief, rage, fear, pain, trauma.
May the 23rd.
And so if you're interested in coming to play, we've got space. We're actually, all of our intensives, we're going to have a small group this summer. And so we've got lots of room, and we'd be delighted for anybody that wants to come and join us and take part in the process. One of the workshops that we do, Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And in that workshop, that's part of our 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. But we look at the fact that as human beings, and our definition of a human life is hold a newborn, not what passes in the world, That is, just because somebody has a body, they're called human, with all their resistances, rages, guilt, griefs, and fears, and desires to control others, but rather that awesome active presence of love. And if we're not functioning as that, then to realize that it's time to stop talking about everybody else and step into talking to and about ourselves and looking at the dynamics and realizing that our purpose is way beyond what passes for purpose in the world, that our purpose as human beings is unique and individual. There is a level at which we all, I believe, share the same purpose, and that is to function as this awesome active presence of love that we are. So there's our the primary purpose for every human being. But then there's a secondary purpose that is unique to each one of us. And we have a worksheet process that we use to assist people in uncovering what that unique purpose is, where the culture basically delivers a message that, well, you know, you are just a chunk of protoplasm, an accident that happened in the universe, and so what we want you to do is just go get a job, make money. And our offering is that that's not your purpose, that you have something unique that you're designed for and designed to do. And when you are not functioning out of your purpose, the world is missing out. And so as each person becomes aware of what their purpose is in this whole process, then in integrating that purpose, the world becomes more whole. The process that humanity's engaged in becomes more connected. And one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein is the one that says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. And if you're living in an optical delusion, then you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you can't function as who you are. And so to awaken to your unique purpose includes being into who you are and bringing forward the unique energetic contribution that you have to make to the world. And yours is unique. I may have no... would think that doing what your purpose is ridiculous, and you may think that my purpose is ridiculous, but it doesn't matter. Each of us has something unique to do here in the world. I've come to understand that the world does its best to take that away from us, and what we're looking to do is to restore. You know, I use an example in that workshop of imagine that, cancel the thought, I have an eye cell, and I take that eye cell out of my eye, and I lay it up on a lectern in front of me. Can that eye cell experience fulfillment? Can that eye cell experience joy and aliveness? And if we use that as an analogy, I think it's fairly safe to assume that the eye cell is going to experience joy, aliveness, and fulfillment when it experiences itself as who and what it is, when it's connected to an eye and functioning as a part of an eye and seeing. Nothing else you can deliver to that eye cell is going to bring it fulfillment. You can't give it enough money, enough power, enough sex, enough gold, enough, you know, thousands of square foot houses, a big enough bank account, an awesome enough investment portfolio to make it happy. And it's no different with human beings. Until we realize who we are and function as a part of who we are consciously, purposely, I don't care what they give you. I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how many billions you've got. I don't care what your investment portfolio is. It doesn't matter if you've got the latest and greatest, I mean, the most awesome car in the world. So what? If you're not functioning as a human being. And again, our definition of a human being is that awesome active presence of love. And so that's what we're here to support. We're here to restore, to be restored, and to restore every mind, heart, and being on the planet to that state of this exquisite, awesome presence of love that we're designed to be. And if you want to tap into that, okay, well, just let me finish off with the thought that if you want to tap into that worksheet, it's fairly self-explanatory. And or if there's something about it you don't understand, you're welcome to download it, take a look at it, start to fill it out, and if you have questions, just call into the show and ask your question. So if you go to www.whyagain.org, there's a bullseye on the page, and if you click that bullseye, first thing you'll see is a link to chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And from there, there's a whole series of links that will take you through pretty much all the tools that we teach. And one of them you'll see is the Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment Worksheet, or Purpose Worksheet. And if you have questions, as you fill that out, if you don't know what your purpose is, if you're not functioning as this awesome active presence of love, put it to work and watch what happens. It's pretty amazing. So you've got a hand, Jeannie. Let's say hello.
Yes, it's 864. Is this probably Susan, maybe?
Hi, I'm Mary Ann, calling from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Hey, hi, everyone. How's your weather there with the hurricane coming in?
Well, Susan would probably be able to answer that better. She's on the coast near the Outer Banks, and that's where it's headed. And so it's been, it's now definitely an alert, and they're cautioning people not to be on the beaches, and so it's really going to change the dynamic for the 4th of July.
Wow, that's for sure. I wasn't aware that was even happening. We're isolated out here in the Ozarks. I had no idea that such a thing was going on.
Yeah, it's happening. And so I, again, say hi to everybody, and I'm doing a worksheet. And as you know, Michael, I made a choice to be a contribution, taking the work into the detention center up in Asheville. And it's been a slow process. I submitted my paperwork, and I delivered the DVDs that you graciously donated to the facility. And the volunteer has just recently contacted me, and so I'll be getting the introduction. And so what I'm doing my worksheet on has to do with everything going along very smoothly until I delivered the DVDs and I looked up at the building from below. It's like a very imposing, to me, imposing fortress-like facility in the middle of the downtown area, which I'd never really been around before. And then self-doubt crept in. So my worksheet has to do with my mind, and so that's what happened. And so my mind is causing me to feel, and I guess self-doubt isn't a feeling, but it's some fear. So, yeah, some fear that I really can be as effective as I'd like to be. And the thoughts that I'm using to cause my feeling, I think there's a part of my mind that wants to make up a story about this building, and it's going to be just too difficult to make a difference. And
me,
I didn't have...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it has to do with confinement. It has to do with, well, basically what I'm asking is support in clearing anything around fear of being confined and related to this self-doubt issue.
Right. Well, let me just ask kind of a wild off-the-wall question, and that is this feeling that comes up for you that's based in fear, and perhaps the sense I get is perhaps inadequacy, is when you stood in front of your power person, did you ever have any feelings like this, like, you couldn't do it, you're not good enough, who are you to say? Have you ever had a power person that you've had that kind of interaction with?
Yeah, I'm nodding my head, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And I say that from my own experience because I know that in many of the circles over the last 45 years that I've been introduced and gone into, you know, there are all these official people with all their official titles and their official little suits and all of that. And I know that I've had many layers of that come up and had to go back and deal with the realities that I acquired standing in front of Dad with his messages that, who do you think you are? You'll never amount to something that will make a difference. You'll never be able to do that. And so my projection would be that perhaps there are some of the realities that will come up for you in layers. You probably won't be finished with that issue today. And I say that again from experience, because having dealt with an issue similar to that, I know that from time to time it still comes up for me. It still comes forward. And, you know, so I'd be doing worksheets around inadequacy, insecurity, not being good enough, fear of being disapproved of, the authority's going to come down on me, somebody bigger than I am is going to, knows better than I do. And here's what I'd offer, Marianne. In the 25 years that you've been doing this work, you have had more exposure and have more understanding of healing than 99.999% of people on planet Earth. That would be my offering.
Okay, well, I accept the offering, and it's pretty amazing to think that I've been given this opportunity. And I definitely will get through the whatever this thing is, this layer. And when you started talking about it, I really felt the emotion in my throat. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's moving on.
And that would be, I'm not allowed to speak in front of the authority. That would likely be a reflection of, I'm not allowed to speak, or I'm going to be beat down or put down or maybe hurt or damaged. And I know that many people who choose to teach this work end up having to deal with that, and they kowtow to the wishes of others who say, well, no, you can't do this. No, don't do that. No, don't talk about this. No, don't do that. And it resonates in them, those old realities of, you know, somebody's going to disapprove of me and somebody's going to take me apart if I do this. And in some cases, people have memories of when they were literally physically taken apart. You know, I don't know if Julie is on the phone. Julie, are you with us? Mrs. Haverstick? Is Julie there?
She's not. She is not.
No? Oh, that's too bad. She's probably down working in the Heart Center. But I can remember Julie, it was around teacher training. This goes back probably, 10 years ago. And, you know, Julie's a school teacher. And, you know, in front of kindergarten and grade one kids, she's awesome. But when she would get up to speak, literally, she'd stand in front of the room doing her lesson in teacher's training, and she would just go blank. She wouldn't be able to think of what to say. And she came up from her house one day to the Heart Center. She had called me, said, okay, let's meet at the Heart Center. And she literally could hardly physically breathe. You're talking about it in your throat. She could hardly physically breathe. And as I started to support her and do some energy field work on her around that, she started to have this visual, and I started to have the same visual, and I could see her as a black woman. Now, is this a genetic memory? Is just this the mind's way of presenting it so it can be handled? I don't know, but here's what happened. I asked her what she was seeing and asked her to look, and she turned, and she saw a black woman in what would be, you would think of as some sort of traditional African dress, and she had been teaching truth, and, I mean, at this point, she can hardly move her upper chest, and she can hardly breathe. These are the kinds of things that people don't want to deal with, don't want, you know, let's control the situation so we don't get too close to that one. And, I mean, she was in such excruciating physical pain in her chest that she could hardly bend or move. And what happened was, what came forward was, this woman, and I suggested that she talk to her and ask if she was this woman, and the woman said yes. And went through a scenario where, standing in front of a group of people teaching, literally a spear was thrown through her body and she was killed. Now here's Julie, and she's in such excruciating physical pain in her chest that she can hardly move or speak or take a breath. It took her some time to work through that physical trauma in her body. Is it genetic memory? I don't know, but here's what I do know, was when she came out the other side of that, since then, and now she stands in teacher training, and she doesn't need notes, and she stands in front of an adult group and just presents the information. And what she had to work through was the reality, the experience of, I'll be killed if I tell the truth. Literally, that's the reality she ended up having to dismantle. And, you know, people who are inhibited in bringing their work forward in the world, that's oftentimes the type of thing that they have to deal with and have to look at in order to come out the other side and really, truly fulfill their purpose. And many people just try to control every conversation, every movement. So, no, we don't want to go there. That's too painful. That brings up too much for me. And we want to go in the other direction. Let's get safe enough to bring it up. And we're here, absolutely. I'm delighted that you're conscious enough, instead of just looking at it and going unconscious and turning away, running away and saying, forget it, I quit, to be in the awareness of being able to decode these things. And that's a really important skill to develop in doing this work, to decode those internal memories that most people remain totally unconscious of. Most people go out and just, you know, I'll drink a fifth of scotch, give me a cup of coffee, let me have some sugar, let me have some caffeine, you know, give me some nicotine, let me have a cigarette, to anesthetize and keep from looking at and dealing with those. And so I suspect you'll find yourself developing a new set of skills, and I would suggest that you might go with the purpose and just, you know, sit in your car in front of that building and let your mind run with whatever's there. Breathe, and there you go. What does that bring up for you?
And I'm going back up to Asheville tomorrow, or no, Saturday, and I will do that. I'll stand in front of that building. But the word fortress kept coming to me, and I was, you know, my mind was making up a story about the word fortress. And as far as being able to speak my truth, I know that I went through 10 years of having four children, nursing and pregnant. And when I was aware that I was going to have home birth, I knew that it was important that I keep that close to my heart until the baby came, because of the fear that the birth trauma would bring up in other people. I was working in a health food store during that period, and that was something that I learned. It was just better for me to talk about it after the successfully, you know, birth. And, you know, it was a triumph. I mean, I absolutely loved it, but and sharing it with other people was a joy too, but it was only after. Okay, there's a problem with our phone, I think. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, there was an echo a minute ago. Yeah, so being able to speak my truth in this situation is my prayer. You know, just to be able to be effective and move, and I'm willing to, I recognize these are symptoms of healing. It's just another opportunity to let go of a layer that really doesn't serve me. And it'll be empowering. It really will. But there was a moment
absolutely
when I stood there, I wanted to run the other way. Just
Marianne. Marianne.
Yeah.
Your roommate, Michelle, from last year, first she says, tell you hi. She's in
hi,
the chat
Michelle.
Room.
And, yeah.
She had caught one thing. You had said your mind caused you to feel, and you were talking about the fear. And so she suggested that you do a worksheet, quote, on your mind, unquote.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
Yes.
And she said, you know, she's working in the prison and stuff, and so she said that it's funny how just saying that you're going to work in it, and you're not actually even in it yet, and it's already kicking in and bringing up stuff. And she said that's why she loves the prison work, because it's just always there for her. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And, yeah, I applaud anybody who is doing this work, Rex and Michelle, my hat's off to you.
And she said it's amazing because once you start working in it, that the inmates actually hold the space of love for you.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, so, yes, Michael?
I was going to say that, you know, when we have people do a worksheet on a situation or on themselves or on an inanimate object, we suggest you talk to it and treat it as though it were a third person. So I would do, literally, the trigger for all of this is that fortress or that building. And I would use
right.
that as number 1A, the building. And if okay. you are going up to Asheville tomorrow, sit in front of it and talk to it. If I go in and teach this, what are you going to do to me? Talk to it like it's another person. And then listen and be receptive, and Ruka will give you input into what it is you need to forgive.
Yeah, that when you started speaking about that, it almost, quote, took my breath away, so I took a deep breath. So I will do that. That'll be easy. And I have one more question.
Please.
I used to think that my mind, the ego part of my mind, was, quote, a chronic liar. And then I kind of was playing the game of the highest thought. What's a higher thought? And then the thought came, even the ego needs love. And I wondered your input on that thought.
Well, the beauty is that when I bring the active presence of love to my own ego states, if there's something untrue in my ego state, the active presence of love is going to dissolve it. And then that structure in my mind that we call ego will be transformed into your footstool. It will become your servant. It will become your support. It was originally and initially designed to be support, and we trained it in all kinds of other crazy things. There's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you convinced yourself that what it saw was true. See only this, and you will realize how circular the reasoning is upon which your thinking rests. So we've trained our minds to do all kinds of crazy things, and when the active presence of love is there and we open that mind, then whatever does not belong begins its dissolution. And then all that's left in it is truth, and it's there to support us. It's a great database. It's a great data bank. It's not the enemy. We've cast it as such, and where there's untruth, you dissolve untruth, and all that's left is support from your own ego as well. But if it's screaming and yelling at you in terror and fear, that's the training we've given it, and that's what needs to be healed. And it is, remember, the active presence of love. I know back, 25 years ago, after having done this work for about 20 years, I started looking at what's the key to healing? What happens? I mean, we had this person that had this horrible disease, and they don't have it anymore. We have this person that had this emotional response that was just so terrible and traumatic. What happened to change it? Because here's the same situation, and they're smiling at me. What happened? And what became clear to me was the place where those transformations take place is when love is conscious, active, and present, and that which is less than love comes to the surface. The thing the non-being mind most wants to keep hidden is those things that need to heal. And that's why people are always reaching out to control everything and everybody, especially their own healing process. Don't take me near that one. Then that's the one to go to. Don't make me have that conversation. That's the conversation to have. And so have the conversation with that building, sit right there in front of it, and have it explained to you. And your mind will tell you what its store is. And it might be a genetic memory, you know. You're from the Old South. It might be a genetic memory of, you know, one of your ancestors that
that went charging up to Fort Sumter and had their head blown off, canceled the song.
Well, actually, I'm from Southern California, so that's the deep
south
I'm from.
Well, that's why I said
yeah.
You're from the south, right?
Well, I'm living in the south, yes. It's definitely a very beautiful place to be.
Hi, Marianne.
For sure.
Hi, who is this?
It's Rex.
Hey, Rex.
Hey, welcome, sir.
How are you doing? I appreciate what you're doing and the work you're doing, and I raised my hand as you were talking because I had almost an identical experience when I first walked up to the prison the first day. It was looking at it and going, oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And
yeah.
And I commend you for recognizing it. So many people will just dissociate. They're so dissociated from their own experience that they don't even recognize that they're upset. They just feel fear and they go, oh, well, that's just normal. Well, it's not, and you're recognizing it. So good job on that. And, yes, embracing that, Michael's advice and his suggestions is right on target, you know, taking it to that place that you were experiencing it inside you. And
right.
There will be lots of layers that will surface because one of the reasons I believe or I think that we lock them up is that we are locking up our own unconsciousness that is manifest in society in the form of criminality, and then we put it away and we don't want to look at it. So what you're doing is you're looking at it now. So it's inside you, and that prison is symbolic, a metaphor of what you have imprisoned yourself in. And just
yes.
Be aware, you're doing awesome.
Yeah, I know that this is a great opportunity for me to undo the blocks because my true nature is love and I see others that way now. So it's about keeping love conscious, active, and present as I, you know, rather than fall into an old pattern and talk about something in an old pattern way, it's just about keeping love conscious.
You bet.
And
that's the key, and we're here to support you, and we're delighted you're sharing it with us, and we are down to just the last minute or so we are going to have to close the show out. And as you work through this, if we can be of any more support, please call in and have us do that. We are just delighted. It's awesome to see your courage, and I know that, you know, you and I have had the conversation for years about you stepping out, and here you are stepping out, and you're getting to face those things. So it's just right on track, and we're delighted to support you. And look forward to how you're going to bring it the world, you know, as Rex and Michelle are doing it in that space, bringing into the world things that 30 years ago they'd have probably never conceived of being able to do. And the changes you're going to bring, you have knowledge of healing that goes beyond 99.9999999% of people who've ever lived. You can rely on that, and Yeshua will put the words in your mouth. You can count on it. So we invite everybody to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Look at the intensive schedule on whyagain.org. Come and be with us this summer to elevate your process and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's the nicest gift you could possibly give yourself and the world. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.